Welcome back to Silverlight TV. I'm John Papa, and today I've got Mark Rideout, guest with me from the Silverlight program management team, and we're going to talk about rich text box control, which used to be the rich text area control.
That's right.
Silverlight betas. Yep. And you can see the demo up behind us here, which was shown at both PDC and at MIX, and it's up on the silverlight.net website.
Great.
Which I'll post a link to. But I brought Mark on board because Mark is Mr. Rich Text.
Yes.
So he's been with the product team working on text for how long?
Yeah, since the beginning. Basically 2005 when we started Silverlight 1.0.
Wow.
Everything about text I've had to learn, and I've been driving where we're at now.
Great. So anything, I can ask you anything about text.
You can ask me anything.
Put you on the spot right in the show.
You can.
Excellent. So tell us about what we're going to look at here today.
So today we're going to basically be looking at one of the big things that we've done in Silverlight 4 is produced a rich text box. So in Silverlight 1, 2, and 3, we've had text display, richer text display through text block. We've had plain text input through text box. But we've always haven't had support for being able to have rich text input. And even when it comes to text display, there's been some limitations. Things like hyperlinks, true text-based hyperlinks, and images haven't been there. And so rich text box provides a rich text editing experience as well as a rich text display experience.
So one use for this that screams out, obviously, is you're creating some kind of a content management system. You could use this control. What other uses kind of defined the use case for this?
So the Silverface did use rich text box for some areas of its UI. So there's generally what I recommend is that if you're using a plain text display and you don't need selection and you don't need any formattings, go ahead and use text block. If you need a little bit more richer text and you want selection, which is something that a lot of HTML users are accustomed to, rich text box is the way to go.
Selection meaning being able to pull out, copy, paste.
Being able to pull out, copy, paste, select text, and go ahead and copy that.
Let's dive right into the demo here. Show us what you got to look
at. Okay, so here basically have an application called Silverlight Text Editor, or Rich Notepad sometimes referred to. And just have some text in here, and I have a formatting toolbar on the top. And one of the things, obviously, being able to have selection, being able to copy and paste, so I can copy this this text.
You did a control C there?
I did control C, and I can go ahead and paste it down here, and I get all the formatting copied and pasted as well. When you do control C and control V, you're actually invoking rich text boxes copy and paste.
Right, so it's built into the controls.
That's built into the controls. And that's actually an important thing to note. In Silverlight 4, the framework team has added the Clipboard API, and that allows you to copy and paste plain text.
Right.
When you copy and paste rich text, it copies and pastes in a different format. And so that can be done through the control using control C and control V.
Great.
In the beta, we didn't have support for having persisting the actual the rich text. So you copy it and you paste it, and it's pasted
plain text,
in plain text. And with rich text box, there's other editor features that you just come to expect, things like undo support. So you have up to 256 levels of undo, which should be enough.
Have you actually tested that?
We have great testers on the team, and they have. But so every single change, whether it's a change for typing, editing, deleting, even formatting. So here I'm going to go ahead and make this item bold, and that formatting itself can be undone using Control Z.
Great. So all the basic support that you
all the basic
for.
Support, yes. In addition, so we have plain text here. I mean, we have rich text here. The other parts of rich text are things like hyperlinks. So if you haven't seen anything yet with from the beta, things like hyperlinks where you can just go ahead and have you can add a hyperlink in there, and you see that it has the underscore and it has the look of a hyperlink. Now, if you notice, clicking on it does nothing, and I'll get to why that's the case in a bit. In addition, we can embed objects as well. So here I embedded a data grid.
Mm-hmm.
And you can embed multiple items. And this embedding is inlined with the text. So what that means is that if I would embed that data grid right in front of this V, is going to affect everything on that line.
Right. And then you can move it around after it's injected.
Yes, that's right. But it's in line. It's not floating in Silverlight 4. It doesn't float around and text wrap around it.
And you can data bind with these data grids just like others as well.
Yes, in fact, this is data bound. Right. I can only select the stuff. I can't actually edit it.
Why is that? Why are they broken, Mark?
Well, it's not broken. So basically, it's good lead-in. The way that RISC Textbox works is that there's two modes. There's a read-only mode and there's an edit mode. And this is toggled using the isReadOnly property. So in the toolbar, what I've done is basically switch between read-only and edit, or read-only view by this button up here. When I do that, the data grid now becomes editable, and it's data-bound. And in addition, the hyperlinks I can invoke the hyperlink. Now, I don't have network access right now, but you can see clicking on that goes ahead and launches the browser.
And you can style that hyperlink, too, if you wanted to, using bolds and...
You can. Content model for the RISC Textbox is YAML-based. It's similar to text block, but we've also added things like paragraphs. So we've taken text block, we said, you know, we need paragraph support. We need the concept of paragraphs so that you can have blocks. And so we have paragraphs. We also have things called spans.
Right.
And so you can style this however you want. One of the things I wanted to show is exactly how do I do some of the formatting. So I demonstrated clicking the B button here, but how does that work? So let's go ahead and go to the code and see how that works.
Oh, you mean it's not just magic? It just doesn't happen?
It's not just magic. But there is some interesting things. So let me go to the bold command. And everything in the RISC Textbox is done, when I say everything regarding formatting, everything regarding walking the content, which I'll describe later, details about inserting objects at a certain location, that's done through the selection object. Think of selection, if you're familiar with WPF, RISC Textbox has a concept of a text range. Selection in the Silverlight RISC Textbox is a text range. But everything you do in Silverlight RISC Textbox is done through the selection object. So the selection, obviously, if something's selected, I want to go ahead and apply a font weight, make it bold.
Right.
And
using a run here, because you can use a run inside of like a text area.
Well, what this is doing here, it uses a DP style, just like set value and get value on dependency properties. Here, the get value, I ask it the dependency property, font weight property. And in the beta, I had this special code here to say, well, make sure the selection is greater than zero. Because in the beta, we didn't have support for applying formatting when there wasn't any selection.
Right.
So usually removing that is the way to go, because now, if you opened up Microsoft Word and you hit Control B, or you click the bold button and you started typing, that text you enter would be bolded.
Right.
So that's in the RTM of Silverlight 4.
Right, and to clarify that, in the beta version that we showed prior to Mix, in PDC, I think it was last November, if you hit bold or a color and you started typing, nothing would be actually applied.
That's right. I like to refer to it as... In the beta, we had typing and then formatting. You always had to type, then format. And then the RTM, we have format and type, then type.
So now it works much more like Word does.
Yes, exactly. So now I've removed that. And let me go ahead and restart this on that bold. So now if I just go down to a new paragraph and I start typing, I got italic because we picked up the formatting that was in that previous paragraph.
Right.
But let's say I want it to be bolded before I started typing. I now click the B button to get it bolded.
Great. And it retains any formatting that
we use. And it retains the formatting. And, of course, copy and paste works with that formatting as well. And behind the scenes, there's a lot that goes on with RISC Textbox in this. Let's go back to now apply bold to this word here. Behind the scenes, we're modifying the content model. We're adding runs and spans as necessary to make the formatting apply. So, and in that case, there could be some optimizations done. don't rely on a content model, always being persistent, and if don't rely as a developer that the content model expect the content model will change as you do some formatting or okay. even as you type. I have my language bar up here, and I'm going to switch to Arabic. Now, I don't understand read type Arabic, I'm going to type in some Arabic words.
And I hope we're not going to offend anybody.
I hope not to offend anybody. I do apologize ahead of time. But one thing I'll highlight some important behaviors that are going on behind the scenes. I mentioned don't rely on the content model. As far as the content model can be in flux and change. And a great example of that is I typed in Arabic. Now I'm going to switch back to English. And I'm going to type in the middle of this Arabic sentence, I'm going to type some English. And one of the important things that I like to type is pretend like I'm trying to access a server share location.
Okay.
So I have server share myfile.txt. What we've done behind the scenes that only if you inspected a content model would you understand this. We had to understand that the input language changed and split these up into their own unique runs with a property called flow direction. So flow direction is how you indicate something's right to left or left to right.
Okay.
Now, if you're not an Arabic speaker, you might not understand that this is actually right to left. But watch the mouse cursor, the caret as I move the keyboard.
Good point. So as you scroll left starting at server, it actually jumped to the beginning over here.
That's right.
And move this way.
So Arabic support, right to left support, is a feature now baked into the framework.
Great.
And rich text box takes advantage of that for caret navigation, for selection, and so it's full-fledged support.
Great.
Now let's go ahead and jump into some of the other features that we've added since the beta.
Mm-hmm.
The caret position here, let's refer to that as a text position.
Okay.
It's position in text. Text positions can provide some very valuable information inside the rich text box. And one of the things I've done, I've added an image, and this image is floating on top of the rich text box. But if you notice, as I move the caret, that image floats and follows that. And as I hold down the control key, that image now follows the closest insertion position where the mouse is at. So as I move the mouse here, it snaps to the end of that character there, because that's the insertion position.
And you're speaking of the finger, the hand of the finger.
The finger is snapped to there. That's right. So how's that done? Well, that's done through some new text position APIs. So here's my position hand method here. And basically, I'm using a new function called getPosition from point. So one of the important things when you're doing anything that you can extend text, you usually will do text to positions to points on the screen, mm-hmm. and points on the screen to text positions. This is how you would do hit tests. So here I'm using getPosition from point, and I have basically the last known mouse move position that I store off. And I call the getPosition API to make sure those coordinates are relative to that. First off, it's about hit testing and understanding positions and such. So this is what I first am doing here is setting the location of this image called caret hand.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes previously in Silverlight 3 and 2, when we added things like text box, we had a lot of APIs hidden. This is the first text control that we've added some more advanced features, and getting positions from point, and also getting character recs. Getting character recs, now you can get the actual rectangle of a character and the position of the character. So based upon whether the control key is held down, I either get position from a point on the screen, or if a control key is held down, if the control key is not held down, I get the character rectangle at the selection. You could extend this to say, well, instead of using a hand, what if I did something more advanced, like show an image, an image like a background of some water over the top of my text, well, what if I drew and drew a path over the top of my text? You now have all the data necessary to draw on top of your text.
Right.
And you have the rectangle information for that. So let's take it a step further.
So you could draw a path around the word. Looks
you
like
could
a
draw a path around the word. You can draw your own underlying styles. Yep.
Great.
Let's take it a step further to the concept of lines. So you can get multiple positions in text, and based upon the offsets, you can determine whether one line starts and another line ends. So, and I've done that by, in this highlight button, I've now drawn over the top of the text my own highlight rectangle.
And this isn't merely drawing, what I like about this is not merely drawing a rectangle from end to end. As you scroll down, the width of the rectangle actually changes to show you that's actually going to the end of the line.
Oh yes, that's right. It's based upon the actual data. And this includes things like embedded elements. So if I put that hyperlink, if I put that data grid back in and I turn on the highlight, that content includes, those metrics include embedded content as well. Mm-hmm. Text positions are more than just characters on the screen. When you see the word this M bolded, there's actually a position there, a text position that indicates that that's a bold tag. So usually this is referred to as symbol-based text positions. Symbols are things like characters as well as formatting marks, as well as paragraph marks. So so when you're walking this content, the APIs that we have, you have to understand where is the position for an insertion point,
right?
Versus where is just a symbol position. And so that's done. NextTP, basically, NextTP is a text pointer object. Here's my declaration right here, text pointer. And this is just some logic that I threw together. And it could be optimized a lot more. I just try to highlight, create that highlight logic.
This is the highlight method.
That's right.
Click
that's right.
Button. Right.
So with the text pointer, I can detect if I'm at an insertion position. And if I'm not, then I go ahead and go to the next insertion position. And so get next insertion position allows me to walk the content. And I could just walk the content at every single insertion position,
right,
and get metrics for that. And get character rect is how I'm getting that metrics, just like I was using for the positioning of that, the image of that hand.
Now, what defines an insertion position?
An insertion position is defined by some heuristics around it's some complicated heuristics, but
sure.
But in general, there's always, in most cases, there's always an insertion position between characters at the beginning and end of characters, and also between things like paragraphs,
right.
Because sometimes you need to add another paragraph or insert another paragraph. So it's a great way of having some, getting some advanced metrics that we didn't expose in TextBox. And so rich TextBox, you can do some really neat things.
Excellent.
So one of the next things I want to show is a XAML property. I created a button here that basically overlays a text box with a XAML content for this content that's on the screen. So let's go ahead and show that. So outside of the section, we have our paragraph. This is the first paragraph. And that paragraph goes to there, and then we have the first text content.
And the
which
runs
is
are
run.
Everything that you basically changed inside of that paragraph.
That's right. That's right.
Bolding and colors.
Mm-hmm. So that's where your formatting comes from. Here we see text alignment left. It's verbose. It's verbose because this XAML property is the same way that we do copy and paste.
Mm-hmm.
If you copy this, you need these data, all these attributes, because you don't want to lose any formatting. So,
and it's smart enough to combine inside the runs, for example, the font size, the font family, the foreground.
Yeah.
It doesn't create separate runs for these.
It doesn't. One of the things I'll highlight that one of the things that we got in at the last moment was text alignment justify. So I'm actually going to now round trip this XAML. So I'm going to modify text alignment for this paragraph to be justified. And I switch back, and now this justified on paragraph.
So it's right and left justified.
Uh-huh. So that's full justification.
Mm-hmm.
And as I resize, you can see that, as I type text, you can see that the spacing changes. Because it is justified, spacing in between individual characters and such.
Right.
So The XAML property, one thing I will highlight, the XAML property, it shouldn't be used for a full persistent model. Rich text box, we had to rely on features that were available in the framework. Mm-hmm. Some of those features, such as XAML writer that exists in WPF, aren't yet available in Silverlight 4.
Okay.
And because of that, we aren't able to persist out every single thing. For example, if I added an embedded element, there is no XAML for that embedded element. In addition, there are some limitations to attribute values, that there's no string-based XAML format. A good example is a linear gradient brush.
Mm-hmm.
Linear gradient brush has more of a complex definition to it in XAML.
So if you had some rich text here with data grids and images and brushes in there, and you try to use the XAML property to persist it to isolated storage, you're going to lose some of those attributes.
It's definitely a lossy format for that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do in that case? Well, basically...
You call Mark.
Call me up. One of the things that we have in the Silverlight text editor sample is a simple persistent model that stores the document tree in its own file format. This is helpful code for our users, and it's helpful code for anyone that's trying to understand how to parse content as well. So basically, you have to do a little bit of legwork to say how do I indicate that this is a data grid, and what data do I want to actually persist out onto a file?
Right.
So there is some work that you need to do.
Which it can be done with our control.
Yes. In addition, the last thing that might not be important for everyone, but Rich Textbox, we've added some new accessibility support. Silverlight accessibility is based upon UI automation, and
right.
UI automation has a concept of text for UI automation,
mm-hmm.
and Rich Textbox has support for that new UIA text pattern. So, so it's not only is it rich format, not only is it rich for display and rich edit for edit, it's also rich for accessibility reasons as well.
And I should mention to everybody here that this particular sample has been styled. It's
yes.
not. It doesn't come out of the box looking like this with the toolbars.
No, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's a great thing to call out. It's think of it as we always provide building blocks.
Right.
Media element, you build on top of that to get your media player. Rich text box is a control. You add on that your own concept of formatting toolbars, your own ribbon.
And implementing a lot of these buttons, as we saw, is relatively simple for some of them, and some more complex.
That's right. That's
for
right.
obvious reasons, like the highlighting. But the bolding is just a couple lines of code.
That's right.
Not bad at all. And all the code that we have for the sample is actually up on the Silverlight.net website.
It is.
I will make sure everybody has that link in the show.
And please check out the documentation as well. We spent a lot of time getting the Rich Textbox, the Silverlight Rich Textbox documentation describing all these details about the XAML persistent format and what it supports and what it doesn't.
Right.
And also, you know, what control to use when.
That's great, yeah, and we'll put all these links up on the website, so we have it in addition to Mark's blog, and I thank you so
thank
much
you.
For coming on, Mark.
Yes, thanks, John.
And thank you all for watching.